Okay, Rabbeisai, we're in Simin Gimel Sifches. Simin Gimel Sifches is a discussion of determining paternity, determining who a father is. Obviously, Simin Gimel talks about Kahuna. Simin Dalid, what? Okay, I'm sorry. Better now? I walked here without a coat at 5:30. 5:30 was 44. It was 45 degrees. But at any rate, I may be thinking about my sweater for the next hour. But okay. Simin Gimel Sifches, we're going to talk about determining paternity or determining who a father is. In Simin Gimel, which talks about Kahuna, this is an issue of Kahuna specifically. But later in Simin Dalet, Siv Chavtes, we're going to talk about determining Mamzerus. What happens if someone takes a blood test and the blood test determines that the father is not the man that the mother is married to? What the reliability of it is, and what the halacha of it is. So we're going to discuss this entire discussion. We have to start by learning the sif, and I'm going to try as best I can to give a concise explanation of the tumling. My personal opinion is not nogeya here, because this is something that the Gedolei Yisrael have tumbled about for 50 years, and I'd like to try to give sort of an overview of what the tumling is about. Let's start with learning the Mechaber and Sivches and see where it takes us. Sivches, Isha Shaloi Shasa Shaloi Shechadashim Achar Baila. A woman who was divorced or widowed and did not wait the required 3 months, the 91 days, to get married. V'yolda. And bang, it actually happened. 7 months after her second marriage, she gives birth. And we don't know if the baby is a full-term baby from the first husband or a premature baby from the second husband. There's no shaila mamzerus here. She got a get. But her first husband was a kayin, the second husband was a Yisrael. And we don't know if the father of this baby is the Kayin, and then the son is the Yisrael, or the father is, then the son is a Kayin, or the father is the Yisrael, the son is the Yisrael. Harizeh Safik Kayin. So we have a status of Safik Kayin, of Chayin, in this Are Vlad Kayin, but Vlad Yisrael, in the hospital. The two babies got intermingled, they got mixed out in a way that we don't know which is which. Vigidilo Ataruva is Kolechamihem Safik, and they grow up. Each one is a Safik Kayin. What does Safik Kayin mean? He's in trouble. He gets the Chumris and not the Kulis. Nice little of Chumre Yisrael, the Chumre Kayinim. We'll talk about that. Nice Nashim Aruyas L'Kahuna. You can only marry women that are eligible for Kahuna. Eimitamin L'Mesim. Loi Eichlin B'Truma. V'Nasa Grusha Maitzian. If they marry a divorced woman, a Safik Kayin with Maitzi from her husband, they like him, but we don't give Malkus because it's only a Safik Kayin. So pretty much, if you look at the comments, there's no Beis Shmuel, there's no Chalkas B'Chaykak. It's a very clear sif. The Gra just second to the Mar Makaymis. He doesn't have any kashas on it. It's a very simple sif.
What? It's not about that coin. What was the Grusha?
Because
he has divorced the Grusha
and
he's married.
Right.
We don't say Kohen, that's
Suffolk
Kohen.
No. For Chumris, we don't say. No. So, for Kulis, we say, not for Chumris. The Mamzel, they suffered Mamzel, something else. But
is there a rope about
Okay, so it's interesting. You asked the question. We're all accustomed to Shas, Safik ben Tes, Safik ben Zayin. Rabbi Yashiv actually writes in the Tshuva in Chelek Dalet that Bizman Hazeh, Roiv babies are full term babies. Nevertheless, there's something in the baby, something on the baby that indicates that it's a premature baby, that nowadays we assume it's a Ben Tess. That's Rabbi Yashiv's cool. It's not like Rabbi Yashiv to go against the whole the Shas and Shulchan Aruch, but he says, look, today most babies are full-term babies unless there's a specific
thing.
He paskes as a Ben Tess, it will be a
Kohen. But now they can determine how many months the baby is.
If they can. Yeah, if they can. It's a question of how accurate that is, but okay. Without that. He's saying without that, that it's that way. Now,
back then, wasn't the right?
It seems it wasn't the same Rav. We'll talk in a few minutes about the two types of Rav that exist. Now, what I'd like to do is discuss with you a little bit about the question of DNA testing to determine paternity, which today in the secular world is accepted universally. By us, it's more than a shaila of, do you get Ali as a Kohen or Yisrael? It's more a shaila sometimes of Mamzeris, because DNA testing can determine that a woman's husband is not the father of the child. And the question is how halacha views DNA testing or other circumstantial evidence which is fairly certain. Usually circumstantial evidence is not absolute. But here it appears that it is. So if there was an artificial insemination, I understand. But usually, if there's artificial insemination, it's traceable. It can be determined. Well, the question is forensic evidence acceptable? That's whatever label you give it. It's the same question. It's not aidim. It's not witnesses.
The best we can make is a mamzer something. We can't make a mamzer vada. There's no.
Can we not make him out? Because of that, today's day and age, it's determinable. Nobody does any type of artificial insemination without a paper trail. It's usually determinable.
The fact that there's no aidus on how the pregnancy.
Let's talk in general. There are really two discussions. All right. Let's go in two steps. Let's talk about. Generally, before DNA existed, how halacha looks at this type of evidence, again, circumstantial evidence, which is appears to us to be overwhelmingly certain. And then we'll talk specifically about DNA. Before DNA, they had blood typing. Blood typing exists since 1901. So earlier Paiskim DNA exists since the late 1980s. Blood typing was earlier, and the Paiskim talked about it. Blood typing also could determine if someone might or might not be a father. Can't determine with certainty if someone is a father, but can determine with certainty that he's not. So let's talk in general. What is the nidayin? How do you approach the issue of circumstantial evidence, assuming that it's circumstantial evidence, which is a very high bar of knowledge? So this goes back to one question, of which of course there's a lot of dispute. It's a question I mentioned in the past. The Torah often says, "Al pi shtei edim yakum davar." We have it by mamon, we have it by erva, and we have it by nefashos. Nefashos we learn from mamon, but lamaisa in three areas of the Torah, davar sheba erva pachas mishtayim, and dinei mamon is al pi shtei edim yakum davar, and dinei nefashos we learn how davar davar me mamon. That it's also shtei edim. So you have three areas in halacha: arayis, mominis, and the fashis. We need two witnesses. Now, what is the halacha if I don't have two witnesses, but I have a yediyah? I know that something is true. Is there the argument is there such a title called yediyah, knowledge, which trumps shtei edim, which you don't need witnesses for? The example I mentioned to you in the past. If two Edom say Reuven killed Shimon, you have two Edom. Nothing's wrong with two Edom. But Shimon walks in front of Bezin, he's standing here alive and well. Either there was Tchias HaVesim, or the Edom are lying. Don't make any mistake. So everybody agrees, it's not going to give Reuven Nisa for killing Shimon, and Shimon walks in. So the question is, how do we deal with the fact there's got to be some sort of exception? The Gemara says that if a Beis Din sees something, Loitehei Shmiya Gedola Maria. If they didn't see, they could just paskin. They don't have to accept witnesses. Loitehei Shmiya, hearing it from people, is not Gedola Maria, is not greater than seeing it. The Gemara says if two witnesses are sitting and they see the new moon, and it's somehow still day, it's not night, you don't paskin by night. And then they just paskin, just say Mekodesh Mekodesh, the fiercest tintari you ever saw. They look at it and they say to each other, "Hey, you see that? You see that?" And they all see it and they give a clap. So there is some level of yedia which works. The difference among the paiskim, that this all depends on, is how to deal, how broad a category to accept that there's something called yedia, which is stronger than Haggadah Seydis. As I mentioned to you in the past, Rav Moshe Shita and a number of tshuvas is, generally speaking, that yediyah works. Now, Rav Moshe, to my knowledge, has no tshuva where he says this is the category of places yediyah works. But he has numerous individual tshuvas where he allows yediyah to work, as a psak, dine mamin, dine yisr. He says that if somebody knows that this relative who's not from would never give him treifus, you're allowed, at least he says b'shas hadchak, you're allowed to rely on that person. No one else is allowed to rely on him. But if you have a yediyah, you could rely on him. Now, this, yeah.
Do we ever say yediyah lahak near other than shavya nafshe?
So putting aside Shavya Nafshe, do we say Yediyah Lahakmir? For sure. For sure. For example, if a woman says that she was Mizana Tachas Baila, she's not believed, she's mutter to her husband. But it says that the husband believes her, so he has to be Pirish from her. Even in his life, he believes her, he has to be Pirish. And these are things that happen all the time. It's shilas that happen all the time, but they happen often. And so this shita, Rabbi Chanan calls the shita of Urim V'Tumim. Rabbi Chanan has a piece on circumstantial evidence in the second volume of Kavit Shiurim, Simen Lamed Ches, he has Simonim. He has a piece on circumstantial evidence, and he starts by quoting the Tumim. The shita of the Tumim is that loy ivri sadi ella l'shakri, the Gemara says. Loy ivri sadi, there's no concept of witnesses, only to prove that something is true. And he says, if you know it's true, then you kapaskin, chutz medine nefashis. That's what he says. Except to give Misa. The story of Shimon ben Shatach, who said, I know you killed him, but I can't do anything about it. So he says, dine nefashis is different. But his shita is, the Tumim shita is, that in Arayais or Maminis, that there's a concept of Yediya, and according to him, call it DNA evidence or any other evidence which is considered Yediya, which is considered knowledge, would be acceptable. Rabbi Chanan, in that piece, in Kavod Shiurim, collects Shitas HaRishayim. So Rabbi Chanan is not coming to be a paisik to paskin. He's coming to say that the Tumim Shita is not the Shita of most Rishayim. And while I didn't go through his Marim HaKaimis, he lists a fairly long list. He has, I think, 6 or 7 Rishayim who hold that Yediyah is not enough, at least for Dinei Maminis. And some Rishayim say in the story of Shimon ben Shatach that who adin Dinei Mamin. Not only nefashis, ma'aser shaya kachaya nefashis, but mamon also without two witnesses, you can't paskin. Now, those words that by mamon you can't paskin without two witnesses, we'll see in a few minutes, it cannot be totally true. For many sugyas and shas, and I'll explain. Like I said, I'm just trying to give an overview of it. He does bring one rishon, the Adrama, who says beferish the same lashon that the tumim, and I quoted from Nigras Maisha, they only need witnesses when there's no yediya. If there's yediya, you don't need witnesses. If you know something, you only need witnesses if you don't know. If you know with certainty, you don't need witnesses. The Rambam is the one Rishon that see a significant Rishon who seems to agree with the Kula, the concept of Yediyah. The Rambam, Rabbi Chanan brings in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Loisa Sei Reish Tzadik, V'Noki V'Tzadik Al Taharoik. There's a lot in the Torah. Well, you need a pasuk, Noki V'Tzadik Al Taharoik. No, of course you're not a killer, Noki and a Tzadik. So the Rambam says, Noki V'Tzadik Al Taharoik is Al Yedei Umdana. That the Torah is coming to tell you that to give misa, you have to have two witnesses. If you have an umdana, if you have a, if Bez is sitting there and they see Reuven kill Shimon, not only they can't paskin based on Ria, they're even possible to be a dayanim when witnesses come, because they won't be mahapel peschusai. They saw it. So by misa, the rabbi says, no, v'tzadik al tara, you can't paskin al pi umdana. The Ramban, what? Bezek B'yei, right. Now, the Ramban on this Rambam says, what are you talking about? Apiyumdana, we don't do Dine Momin either. So that can't be Pshat in the Pasik. So Ramban is saying, like, not like the Tumim. He's saying, Apiyumdana, you can't do Momin either. But the Rambam is on the Rabbi Chanan. The Rambam holds that it's daf kadine mam, you can't do api umdina, which means even though Rabbi Chanan brings Rambans and Rajvas and Ritvas and Rads and Muki Yosefs, but the Rambam is a big name in Imsak, and the Rambam says you only misa you can't do api umdina, which implies, like the Ramban's diuk, the Ramban is medayik in the Rambam. Yechap, the Rambam says, Noki v'tzadik al tara, you can't do dine nefashis api umdina. It's clearly mashva that everything else you could do al pi umdana, which is the Ramban's kasha. But the Rambam is a significant Rishon that holds that you could do other things al pi umdana.
How many kashas umdana? Less than
you did. So I'd like to get to that question, obviously. First, so Hidas Baldin.
You say I owe money.
So by Hadas Baldin, Kameya Adim, someone admits about himself, there's a Ktsais, the similar Magal Dal, the famous Ktsais. The Ktsais says, by Hadas Baldin, Chaim is asking, someone tells Bezdin, I broke his window. So Bezdin says, you have to pay. He says, I don't want to pay. I broke his window, I don't want to pay. Make me pay. Can Bezdin make him pay? There are no witnesses. So we say, Hadas Baldin Kamei Adim. Not only that, if witnesses come and say he didn't break the window, he still has to pay. Witnesses say, it's not sure he broke the window. He was with us in a different Medina. Right? Hadas Baldin
Kamei
Adim. It's not true, betray. So the concise brings that there are two pshatim in Hadas Baldin. Either, Gabi yourself, you'll believe. Period. Gabi yourself, you'll believe. Or, we don't believe you. But you're mechayiv yourself with a Haggadah. Haggadah is a mechayiv. We find such concepts of Udisa. Can you Udisa is when you say something in Bez, then you're mechayiv yourself. It's like Shavya Nashir Tichidi Surah. The Rav Chanan read Ketzais compares it. It's a Klai Zdikah Ketzais. So Hadas Baldin, when someone's believing Gabi himself, it's no Raya. It could be we do believe him, or it could be we don't believe him, he's Mechayev himself anyway. So therefore it's no Raya. But my main point is that the question of whether Yediyah counts by Nefashis, Yediyah doesn't work in Ishtei Eidim. By Mamin in Araya is whether Yediyah works. At least the short story of it is that it's a machlekes in the paiskim. The machlekes in the early rishayim. It's not a new shaila, and niza hachra lemaisa. Now here's the catch. Rabbi Chana brings the last paragraph. He brings the Ma'arik. He says, let's face it, there are plenty of umdinas and shas in Dine Mamin. There are plenty of places where shas has umdinas, meaning we say things based on assumptions. Rabbi Chana brings an example, achrayis tos sefer. What that means is, if I lend you money, then you're with a shtar, I lend you money, we write a document, your real estate is mishubid to my loan. Let's say I forgot to write it in the shtar. I forgot to write achrayis. We say achrayis tos sefer. We say everybody who lends money, real money, significant money, and bothers to write a shtar, obviously wants the real estate to be mishubin. Achrayis, if they forgot to write in the shtar, achrayis tos sefer. We say it's a mistake of the sefer, that's as if he wrote it. And that's just an umdinah. We don't know for sure what he was thinking. Now, I don't know why he brings only that example. Chazaka ein adam pereh tazmanai. If I lend you money, and we make up a due date for January 1st, and I come in December and I say I paid, I'm not believed. If I come after January 1st, there's no shtar. I lent you money or all along. After January, I'm believed to say I paid. I might say mechaveh or l'varai. If I say I paid in December, why am I not believed? Gemara says, ein odom pereta izmanai, v'alavai sheyifr bizmanai. I remember we learned upstairs Shabbos afternoon, above the first parak above a pastor many years ago. Alex Gross Elvashal was still alive. I remember we learned ein odom pereta izmanai and halavai sheyifr bizmanai. And Alex got up and he said, "That's true." Halavai sheyifr bizmanai. He said it like, but the Gemara says it's an umdina. People don't pay early if they set dates. So that's also a mighty mamin with an umdina. So there are some umdinas where we're mighty mamin. What? There's no rave that he doesn't pay. Now this gets us into a very shaky topic. I'd like to try to explain something. It's a bit complicated, but we're talking about umdinas. We don't pay a paskini on umdinas. Everyone likes yes and no. Gray, nobody likes gray. But you're going to have to listen to some gray for a minute. There are certain areas where we paskin al pi raiv. Dine mamin. We have a rule. Ein halcha b'mamin acha harayv. We have a rule. You know, based on raiv, you can't take away money from somebody. You need shtei edim. Apshinei yokun dover. Yet certain umdinas work. Ein adam pereh tazmanai works. Or chazaka people don't lose a shtar within 3 years. Someone's in a land, he says he bought it. He doesn't have a shtar. We say chazaka people don't lose shtaris within 3 years, you lose the kark. These are umdinas. What's the rule? So I want to speak out a shari yasher, Reb Shimon. Shari yasher, shar gimel, paragimel. It's not sometimes a pilpul of what a Rosh Yeshiva is emphasis on Chiddush. It's not. You'll see it's Nikarim Divrei Emes. It's very clear. He gives a formula to Divrei Chazal. Now, just hold with me. He gives three examples. Makei Behema Yishalmena. If you kill someone's animal, you got to pay. Maybe the animal was a treifa. Maybe they would have shechted it. Let's say an animal that's oimid l'shchita. So if you shecht an animal, it's valuable. You get steaks and you get all kinds of food from it. You kill an animal, you got to pay. How much do you pay? The value of a healthy animal. Maybe it's a treifa. Answer is, Reiv behemoth, they're not treifas. So Frek Reb Shimon, ein halcha b'mamanacha arayv. Somebody kills somebody's animal, how can you make him pay the value of a full animal? We'll say maybe it was a treifa. Can go hire someone to be baidik all the treifas, the dead animal. Rav Behemoth is not treifas. What happens today in the market The Shechita house today, 60 to 66% of the animals are treif, but that's because we're very machmir. We don't know how to check the lungs, and we're very machmir in any sircha. Roy behemoths are not treif. Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed to drink milk. Milk of a treif animal is treif. How are you allowed to drink milk? Because Roy behemoths are not treifus. To be mighty mammon. We're not mighty mammon based on roiv. So how can you make him pay for a full animal? This is how Reb Shimon sets up his cash.
Roiv would be the kind of trade would be to excuse him.
It would be to lower the amount he pays. You're charging him $10,000 for a healthy animal. He says maybe it's only worth $5,000. The animal, the meat is only good for the vela. What?
When you don't know, you wouldn't sold it in the market, you get that price.
You mean he would have gotten that price anyway, if it's able to be sold in the market as opposed to whether he shefts it himself. Okay, so maybe you have an answer to this exact case. So say Heloch. I taught the boys in my shiur how to deal with the Torah. I told him, I gave him a list of advice. One of them is, someone says you owe me 100, you know you owe him 50. I told him, you say, let me think for a minute. You run home, get $50, come back to Pesnin, and say, I admit I owe you 50, Heloch, here's the 50. Heloch is not is pater from a shuas my dubi mixes. If you tell Pesnin, I owe 50, they can make you swear. Nobody wants to swear. So you tell him, hold on, let me think about it. You go home and get the cash, and you walk into Pesnin, and then you give. Look, these are, okay, you want to start with Makibay Mishal Menno. He brings another example. The Gemara discusses if Kaifin Apidyan Aben, someone has a Bechar, he doesn't want to pay this son. So Gemara has a discussion where the Bezdin forces him to pay. How do you know he's the father? How do you know he's the father? Because Roiv Bila Sachar Abal. You assume that Roiv Bila, he says, Enochim Omanachar Roiv. How can you make him pay? How do you know he's the father? Because Roy Bila Zachar Baal? Because that you rely on Roy. By Elise, you rely on Roy, but by Mamin, to make him pay. Listen, he probably did not get any Elise yet. He's still 30 days old. You know, it's not like... You can start up with each case. You're not answering the big question. His third example is a Ma'anis and Mufata. Someone's ma'anis a nara, what? Someone's ma'anis a mafata, a girl, you have to pay the father the knas. Says, why don't you say, who says he's the father? Who says the father? Roy Bila Sachar Abal? You can't make me pay money to him. Now, these are obvious examples of which there are probably dozens of places where we go basura. So Rav Shimon says the following. Two types of roiv. There's a roiv that you can calculate and understand that it's a roiv. You know, it doesn't mean it's 50.1%, but you know it because you make a calculation. Most animals live more than a year. Most animals don't die within a year. So roiv tells you that roiv outstrips. If you say it's based on calculation, that's ordinary roiv. Or if you have roiv, the Gemara says, what's the Gemara's case in Hachem Amachar roiv? Someone sold, someone has an animal shop. Someone walked in and bought a bull. So he took the bull home, he attached it to the plow. It's a wild bull. It's not tame. So he goes back to the store and he says, take it back. It's Mekatos. He said, what Mekatos? I sold it to you to shecht. I didn't sell it to you to attach to your plow. So Gemara says, Ruban L'Radya. In those days, roiv animals that were sold were used for plowing or pulling a wagon. He says, so what do you mean? I bought it based on roiv. Gemara says, Enoch Mamanachar roiv. You can say, I sold it for shechita, tough on you. Unless he specifically said, I need an animal for plowing. Zok Reb Shimon, that's a roiv al picheshbon. We know that most people buy for plowing. It could be that way for 1,000 years. But it's a rive al pichesbe. We know the cheshbayin is of people who buy animals. It's that way. It doesn't have to be. It could be a time, like in the 21st century, most animals are sold for shechita. It's a rive al pichesbe. There are other rives, he calls it rive al pichachros haseichel. A rive al pichachros haseichel, rive bilasachar habal. It means, rive al pichachros haseichel means, it's the way people understand things without making cheshbonos. We don't say rive bilasachar habal because we take a poll and we figure things out. It's something that's a davar sichli, that people understand memela, that if a man is married to a woman, they have a child, that this is the father. And it's an umdana which is not based on a real rive. Some umdanas are based on rive. Some umdanas are based on a human simple understanding of the way the world works, who the father is. Rive animals are not treifus. You know, most animals don't drop dead before they're 12 months old. It's not because we take a poll. We never, all of us here, we never saw animals. Who knows what animals are? We only get it in the butcher shop. But we understand that most animals are not treifus. Animals live more than 12 months. So Reb Shimon says that type of rive is a, I call it a super rive. It's a rive that is machriya dinei mamon. So when you're going to ask on Rabbi Chanan's Rishayim, that they say you don't do umdinas by mammon, but you say we do umdinah by mammon. We give money to the father of the girl because Rabbi Bila Sachar Abal. The answer is there is a certain level of umdinah that's not based on statistics. That's based on the normal logical understanding of the halachi elach of the world, and that works. That works. It's an understanding of fact. Our discussion is about something that's specific, and we know because of the things that we've done to determine that these things work. That's our discussion. I know DNA works, and it was determined. It's not based on logic, it's based on science. So, Atkan, this is part one. Before we get to DNA, blood typing, this is the first part of the discussion. Is there such a thing as yediya, which doesn't require edim, machlekes rishayim? But there's got to be a certain amount of yediya that certainly works. What he calls a rive api hakras haseichel. There are certain things that do work, but that's not our discussion. Our discussion are things like blood typing and DNA, which are discoveries, which are things that they're not achras haseichel, they're api cheshven, they make a cheshven, we know who works. So this is the Akdama, which is not after a discussion of DNA testing, it's a discussion of all this type of testing. Now, let's step to step two, and that is the tumul, which really was a tumul over blood typing, before it was a tumul over DNA testing. DNA, as I said, was first accepted as evidence in the late 1980s in secular court and in rape victims was the original place that it was accepted. And today it's accepted fairly universally that DNA is an absolute determination. Let's go back to the discussion of blood typing, which means the following. You have a person whose paternity is not known. We know his mother, we don't know the father. The mother says, this is the father, he should pay child support, he should pay mezainis. And the father says, I'm not the father. And they want to do blood typing, blood typing itself can't determine with certainty that it is the father, but it can determine that it's not the father. Well, in the case of mamzeris, a woman says this child is born illegitimately, she doesn't have an emanus, but is blood typing good enough? So this argument, it goes back to the 60s and the 70s in the state of Israel, where the tumbling took place. The interesting, when you talk about scientific innovation, There's certain places can you expect to be on one side and certain places can be on the other side. It's very you do. I expect Eidach HaRedis to say, yeah, what do the scientists know? And people like this Eliezer to deal with it. And what's fascinating is that when it came to using blood typing, the names you don't expect say it's not reliable. In other words, to be very specific, the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva, which is printed in Chelek Yud Gimel, Simen Kuv Dalet, written in 77. This is before DNA, but on blood typing. And Rav Avadia Yosef, in a tshuva written, also written earlier, but first published posthumously in the Abi Eimer, Chelek Yud Simen Ches, it had been published earlier in many journals. And the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. All three who are fairly in step with modern science and fairly accepting of modern innovations, all three say that you cannot rely on blood typing to determine, to make a child a mamzer or to paskin these dinim. And very interesting, the first one, I should say earlier, the two chief rabbis of Israel, Rav Herzog and Rav Uziel, disagreed on this topic. Rav Uziel, the Sephardic chief rabbi, in a very brief tshuva, writes very strongly that you cannot rely on blood typing to make any determination. And there are two pieces to this. One piece is a general reluctance to rely on scientific innovation with the thought process that science tends to evolve. The history of science is what's taken for granted in one century is dismissed centuries later as we used to think. I remember in the olden days when we used to get the New York Times before it became into Israel and everything, but the Science Times, we saw Tuesday. Science Times every Tuesday, my wife and I took note. Rife Times, there was a line on the front page that says, this changes what scientists have been thinking all along. Oh, now, obviously, that made it to the front page. But most weeks, the week before also, this changes what we've been thinking. That doesn't mean everything changes. It means different things change. Now, there is a reluctance to accept with certainty to paskin mamzeres based on something science has discovered. Blood types are, you know, it's interesting if you study. Blood transfusions began in the late 1600s. They tried blood transfusion on dogs that were dying, and they made the dogs die. They drained all the blood out of a dog till it was almost dead. And then they transfused blood from another dog, and it lived. Blood transfusions worked in the beginning. And then many people died as a result of blood transfusions, and it was banned. In the early 1700s, it was banned. At that time, they didn't know anything about blood types. They thought all blood is the same. And therefore, even though they knew how to do blood transfusions in the 1700s, it was banned in most countries. The church banned it. In the early 1900s, blood types, the idea that different blood types were discovered. If you give certain blood types to other blood types, it creates an immune response, which really kills the person, essentially. And once they were able to identify the blood types, blood transfusions became fairly routine, because now they knew why people were dying from transfusions, and today transfusions are very typical because of the blood typing that takes place. Obviously, the blood typing is accurate. So there was a reluctance, nevertheless, to rely on blood typing. One other thing. Some of the Paiskim write that the Gemara says, Anida, Shloisha Shutva Ba'adam. Remember what it says? Shloisha Shutva Ba'adam, the father gives the white, which is the brains, the bones. The mother gives the red, which is the blood, and the Baishal gives the neshama. So they write that the mother gives the blood. How can you identify the father from the blood? This is what the Tzitz Eliezer writes. So Shlomo Zalman writes, we can't pask it from such gemaras. You know, the father, it's not like they transplant the bones and the brains from the father, you know. Sometimes you see a child, he's got the brains of his mother. I mean, my children, Baruch Hashem, got it from the mother's side. So Shlomo Zalman, you can't pass from Haggadah to Gemaras. But Im Kol Zeh, he does take the position that you can't rely on blood transfusion. Rav Herzog, in a widely quoted tshuva, writes that he's ashamed to tell people what Rabbanim hold. He writes, his lashon is mishakin roishon b'chayil ka'if hayadua, that these Rabbanim are sticking their heads in the sand like a certain bird. He writes that, well, how can you deny that blood typing is accurate? And he has a very strong pushback. He's kamat a yachid in his generation. There was one in the Sfaradi Gedolim, the Askel Avdi, which is a popular tshuva sefer, that went with him. So it's fascinating. What? Mekubala. And he agreed to go with it. But fascinatingly enough, the consensus was not to rely on blood typing. So let's fast forward to the World Trade Center tragedy. And the question was, whether it came Lamaisa, I don't know. But the question was dealt with, was relying on DNA to be Matar and Aguna. Obviously, there were no identifiable remains, but they did DNA testing on any human remains. And Reb Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, Reb Zalman's son-in-law, I believe, he was from the Gedaliah Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael, is respected across the board. He wrote a long tshuva on the topic that you are permitted to rely on DNA, that DNA evidence is solid, more solid than blood typing ever was. It was republished in the Yeshurun volume Yud Beis, if anybody wants to look it up. And interestingly enough, Rabbi Yashiv signed on. That to be matar agun, you can matar agunis means to be matar neshes ish, and obviously there were contributing circumstantial evidence. You know, they were happily married, and the husband suddenly disappeared, so there was contributing circumstantial evidence. But nevertheless, this idea of relying on DNA evidence was accepted then to be matar agunis, and so Rabbi Yashiv naturally it was follow up tshuva. What about determining mamzerus? What about determining mamzerus? In a short tshuva, in the first volume of Kovetz Tshuvas, Tshuva Kuf Lamed Hei, Rabbi Yashiv writes, interestingly, he says DNA can determine mamzerus. It can determine mamzerus, but we should not tell people to go for DNA testing. Now, I want to share with you something fascinating. Rav Sadia Gaon is quoted in Paiskim, was quoted in storybooks or something else. The Eliyahu Rabba, Tulchus Sabaches, brings the following incident with Rav Sadia Gaon. It's a well-publicized incident. There was a paternity dispute about who, it had to do with Yerusha in his case, who's a child, who's not a child. One was a child, one was illegitimate, and they couldn't determine which was which. Rav Sadia Gaon brings a test. He says you take a bone from the mace, you take blood from each child separately, and you submerge the bone into the blood. If the bone absorbs the blood, it's the child. If the bone does not absorb the blood, it's not the child. Now, I'm certain that modern science doesn't recognize this, but that's not the point. The point is, Reb Sadia Gaon brings this test. Reb Yudah Chassa brings it as well. And whether it works or not is not the point. He held it works. And he relied on it. And he relied on it to paskin, which is no worse than DNA. Today we believe DNA works. Maybe a thousand years from now they'll laugh that we used to think DNA works. But now we think it does.
This at the moment is not for Israel.
And so this is for Mamanis. Okay. It's for Mamanis. What? It's a Pishnei and Yaakov Dabra.
It's the money from the Yerusha, not from the amount of money doesn't change. The money was already...
No, it does change. Which one Yerushin's?
The Yerusha is...
Who's the son? Well, the other Yarshim, I guess they're going to lose.
It wasn't like the money was already in the Chazak.
Well, okay, okay, I can argue how far, but okay. So Rabbi Yosef is at the end of a tshuva. He doesn't understand how you could take the bond. If I have a chance, I'll answer that. Give me a second. So the Rabbi is a kasha. There's a Gemara above a Basra Nun Ches, where a man had 10 children, and he knew only one was legitimate. He had some wife, let me tell you. He knew one was from him. He knew the other guy was not from him. So they went to Basra, and he said, who's going to yashin? So the Gemara says, he said to them, go bang on your father's kever and tell him you should come and let you know who's the father. So they went to the kever. 9 of them went banged on the kever and one didn't. He said, oh, that's the son. The son's not going to go bang on his father's kever, even for money. Okay. So wait. So Frecht El Yaraba Kasha, why don't you do Rav Sadia Gain's test? Why are you going to go bang on a kever? That's not absolute proof. Do Rav Sadia Gain's test. The Rishash of Basra Nun Ches answers the Kasha. Listen to what he says, Agoinus. He says, had they done Rav Sadia Gaon's test, it would have made the 9 of them Mamzerim. We already learned that just like Eliyahu is not going to be Megala Mamzerim, we're not supposed to look to be Megala Mamzerim. So they didn't want to be Megala Mamzerim by doing that test. Instead, bang on the kever. Bang on the kever, maybe it's enough for Yerusha. You can't make a person a Mamzer because he banged on the kever. So they didn't want to make Mamzeris, and they wanted, that's what the Rishash says. Zok Rebel Yashiv, you see the aside of the Rishash is, you don't do testing to make Mamzeris. So, although the DNA testing is good, but we're not running around to test people and run around and identify Mamzeris, Klai Yisrael, we go right Bila Sachar Abal, we're not looking to determine Mamzeris. Now, if Rabbi Yashiv didn't hold that way anyway, I don't think he would have passed him based on this whole set of stories. But this is a makar, this Rishash is a makar that he brings. He said, Tzarechi, in any way, how could you take a bone of a mace? It's also Bahanoah. Could be the answer is, there's a whole body of discussion. I'd rather heard it from Rav Moshe, what are Rav Moshe Shurim, Dibris Moshe. There's a discussion about Bizoyan Amace, Lekovet Amace. Because you're not allowed to use, you have to bury a mace, but we know you push a burial, a kavod ames, if the children want to come for the levaya. So there's a body of discussion as to whether you could do b'zayin ames, the kavod ames. So anyway, okay. Again, there is a time factor, and it's a sidetrack. But what I tried to do in this period of time is to explain A, the question of yediyah and umdina, and then B, the question of when it's used. Now, DNA testing is supposed to be totally accurate. Dr. Babich brought me in a few years ago when the Daf Yomi was dealing with something, he always does, about the saying DNA is totally accurate, and then the rabbi saying that maybe it's not. So I'm bringing to you, this is from a newspaper article he gave me. Lydia Fairchild. Ever heard of her? Lydia is an American woman who was pregnant with a third child when she and the father of her children, Jamie Townsend, doesn't sound Jewish, separated. When Fairchild appealed for enforcement of child support in 2002, providing DNA evidence of Townsend's paternity, which was a routine requirement. Imagine the crazy world we live in. You're married to somebody, you want child support, you have to bring in DNA test to prove that this is the father. Okay, that's the generation you live in. So you brought it in. Now listen to this. While the results showed Townsend certainly was the father, they ruled out her being the mother. Fairchild stood accused of fraud by either claiming benefits for other people's children or taking part in a surrogacy scam, and records of two prior births were put into doubt. Prosecutors called for her children to be taken away from her, believing them not to be hers. As time came for her to give birth to her next child, the judge ordered that an observer be present at the birth, ensuring that the blood samples were immediately taken from both the child and Fairchild, and be available to testify. 2 weeks later, DNA test indicated she was also not the mother of that child. A breakthrough came when her defense attorney, Alan Tindell, now he might have been Jewish, learned of a woman in Boston and introduced an article in the New England Journal of Medicine about a woman named Karen Keegan. In Keegan's case, DNA samples were taken from members of the extended family. The DNA of Fairchild's children matched that of Fairchild's mother to the extent expectant of a grandmother. They also found that although DNA in Fairchild's skin and hair did not match her children, the DNA of her cervix did match. Fairchild was carrying two different sets of DNA. She apparently had one set of DNA in most of her body and a set of DNA in her reproductive organs. And they thought it didn't match. And when they did a test, they took from her skin or her blood in one set, and the baby she carried had a different set of DNA. So, DNA test, now I don't say this is typical. DNA testing is probably still. I assume she hadn't had a transplant at that point. She was born in 1976. At that point, she was 26 years old and too old, too. So I doubt she went through a transplant. Especially by 26, she was having a third child.
So you can't be right with the
animals. What?
So
DNA testing, well, I assume is tremendously accurate. It's not. This is one case where it's not 100% accurate. Certainly not for DNA nefashis. This doesn't. The exception. It was accurate based on follow up. The assumptions on which the testing was done were absolutely. So I tried to give you in this hour. I want to do the last sif of the simon. I tried to give you a breakdown of two topics: the idea versus I'm going to say this topic. And the DNA topic. Let's learn a siftes, which is a chiddush, but not so complicated. What would you say? Two kayanim and their children, you got confused which child is whose? Is a child a kayan? Manasha. Shtei kayanim. Shin savavla deseyim. A yeshis kayan. Shoshosa acha baila gimel chadashim. Yeshis kayan didn't wait 3 months. Then this is the kayan acher. How could she marry a second kayan? I guess he died. First one died. And you do him to Ben Teslavish, Mishiv Lachrit. Harry is a Kayin. Mamanasha is a Kayin. Nazav Lach, Chumre Shneim. What does it mean, the Chumre of both? Who Einen Aleihem, Heim Einen Olav. The Suffolk, which is the father. Aninus is to both. Who Einen Etamlehem, neither one is Vade the father, Heim Einen Etamlehem Loi. Bamedvar Mamurim. Now here's the Chiddush. Bizman Shabbat Mikach Nesuim. If this woman was married to Kayan A, and then married to Kayan B, a legitimate child. Avo, biznus, mashtikin ha'isai medin kuhuna. Now, what's the case is nus? Ha'el v'yidu v'adei miyu aviv, keitza. Now, listen to the case. Asara kayanim, shepirish echad mehem ubal. We know for sure the Baal was a kayan. One of 10 kayanim. Avishu v'adei ben kayan. V'nidla meis anasagrusha loika. Still, the einai oived veinai echol b'truma. Still, he's not considered to be a kayin lekula, only lechumra. Dovapella. We know the father's a kayin, and yet he's not a kayin. So this goes back to a gemara I read when we started the simon. The gemara says v'hoisa loyul azare yachrav kuhuna einesh chineshruya ella b'miyuchasa b'Yisrael. Meaning to say, there's a halacha by a kayin that even if you know he's a kayin, if you don't know who is miyuchas achrav, it's a psul in the kuhuna. Even though you know he's a kayin, you don't know he's miyuchas achrav. Now, they say, hold on a minute. What about if you don't know which is the father? Because the ben zayin l'rishin, ben tesla l'rishin zayin l'achrin. So the Taz, the Sivkot Yud explains, the Aruch HaShulchan goes with the Taz's biur. The din voice loyal Lazari Achrov that a kain has to be miyuchis is a din derabbanan. It's an asmachta. It says gozu al aznus v'loy gozu al nesuim. If she's married to one kain and then married to another kain, you know the child is miyuchis. You have to kain one or two, but it's through nesuim. Chazal didn't make exer. Myla osu b'kuhuna b'yuchsim by kuhuna is that a child that's born through znus if you don't know who the father is, so then he loses the privileges of kahuna. The Rama says, Zansa and Kayin Acher, Vitasholish, this is the Kayin Acher. If it's a suffix, if it's his nus father or a marriage father, Havlad Pasal Kuna. Also the Vlad is Pasal. Kayin Abala Pnuya, Umayda Shehu Binai, Haben Kayin Lachal Davar. So Znus is not always Pasal Kayin. Znus, where you don't know, Miyuchas Achrav, there were geyser. But if a woman was Mizana with one person who's a Kayin, then it's Benay Lachal Davar, and he's a Kayin. Like Hashina Shemifkira Nashal Achayim. We don't stop say a woman is Mizana with other people.
So.
The
Shifka mixed up with the
Kayin,
didn't know whose child it was.
So most of the. Manashah, he's true, but. Yeah. Okay. Well, so what it's saying here. Is a my loss will be yochsin by kahuna. By kahuna, there's a halacha that even if you know the father's a kayim, if it was deres nus and you don't know which one it is, so the my loss will be yochsin is that if you don't know who it is, that you pasul a kuna, the chumrei kuna he has a stay raisa, the drabbanon he can't dochin, he doesn't have the privileges of kuna that he doesn't have. So I guess not. He'd be like that. Well, he's like a chol because znus is not a chol, right? A znus that's mut a zayin is only someone you're not allowed to marry. Someone you're allowed to marry. So what we did basically, simin aleph was the chiyuv pur ravu, simin beis was the din of who a person is allowed to marry, and simin gimel was din of psul kahuna. Next week we start simin dalid, which is the asurim lavei bakal, din of mamzerim, shtuki and asufi, which we'll start next week.